Hi there, and welcome to the Sheltered Journey podcast, a place where parents and caregivers of children, minor and adult children, living with emotional, behavioral, developmental, and intellectual challenges can come anytime, anywhere to feel less alone, less isolated on their journey, a place where their experiences are shared, acknowledged, and honored. This is also a place for people who may not be on this particular journey, but who want to learn, understand, and be more supportive of the people in their lives who are on this path. You can listen to all episodes of the Sheltered Journey podcast, get state-by-state parent-centered resources, and learn more about the Sheltered Journey nonprofit organization at www.shelteredjourney.org. I am working on a book about the parent-caregiver experience based on the Sheltered Journey podcast. And as a result, I've been going back and rereading and listening to episodes that I've written over the last 2.5 years. And as I revisit the episodes in preparing for the book, I see that I've covered a lot of ground in terms of the common issues so many of us face on this journey. Yet given the nature of podcasting and the piling up of episodes, it can be difficult sometimes to see the range of topics covered. To address that, I'm going to rerun certain episodes, especially those that received a great deal of listener feedback or those episodes that were specifically requested by listeners. In this case, I'm going to play episode 21 called Relationships. Because as we head into the holiday season, our relationships, our family relationships, our friendships and unions and partnerships and work relationships, etc., often feel magnified, much more intense. And I think it's a good time to revisit relationships and how they can change, grow, and sometimes end on this journey of being a parent or caregiver, loving and advocating for a child living with challenges. Here is episode 21. We have all kinds of relationships in our lives, with friends, with husbands or wives or romantic partners, with extended family, with our children, with coworkers and neighbors. These relationships can be casual or intense, complex or simple, helpful or frustrating. They can be fun or agonizing, predictable or surprising. They can support us or shatter us. They can diminish or grow. Our relationships can be some or all of these things at any given time. Parents and caregivers of children living with challenges often write to me about the relationships in their lives. Close friendships that are no longer supportive after the diagnosis of a child. Marriages shaken by the realities of caring for a child with mental illness. Jobs lost because of the amount of time needed to attend meetings, therapy sessions, and everything else that goes along with supporting and advocating for a child. As I sit with these emails and think about them and my own relationships, I see how significantly our connections with friends, spouses and partners, our children, extended family, and all of the other people in our lives are affected on this journey. Let's talk about the relationship we have with our children. That's a complicated one, filled with love, resentment, anger, exhaustion, at times hatred, and a bunch of other difficult emotions. In previous podcasts, I've talked about how I sometimes feel disconnected from warmth and love towards V, my daughter who lives with emotional and developmental challenges, because of the cumulative strain of advocating and fighting for her best interests. And all those fights, sometimes with her, deplete me and numb my feelings toward her.
My relationship with M, V's older sister, has been strained. Because M feels that I pay so much attention to everything that goes into helping V live her life that her needs are sometimes ignored. And that feeling of being overlooked, ignored, pushed to the side to make room for the child that is struggling is a common one for siblings. I talk about that in episode 4 of Sheltered Journey called The Forgotten Child. With the help of lots of therapy for her and me, my relationship with M is healing. But there's an undercurrent in terms of M feeling like the one left out that I think will always be there, and I have to live with that. As a parent or caregiver on this path, relationships with our children are a knotted mess sometimes. Our feelings towards them may run from hot to cold in a given day, maybe even within an hour. I am doing the best I can with my children, and that's all that I can do. Are there things that I miss? Yes. Mistakes made? Yes. But I serve no one by beating up on myself, and neither do you. In terms of the relationships with our children, we learn, we grow, and we move forward. A relationship that goes through all sorts of changes on this journey is the one we have with a husband, wife, or romantic partner. These relationships have plenty of ups and downs on their own, and that's to be expected when two individuals share their lives. Having children certainly affects those relationships, but when you have a child who struggles with emotional, behavioral, developmental, or intellectual challenges, some relationships find themselves on shaky ground. Why? There's many reasons why, especially since every relationship and person is different. From my 16-year marriage, and I would say this is common in other marriages and partnerships, having an uneven balance of responsibilities in caring for my daughter, V, chipped away at the foundation of our relationship. Sometimes one person in a marriage or partnership, and often that person is the mother, handles what feels like everything in the support and advocacy of a child. She takes the phone calls from school, talks to the teachers, school social workers, school psychologists, and other personnel. She fills out countless forms, communicates with the case managers, calls in the crisis team, talks to therapists, psychiatrists, pediatricians, neurologists, and any other doctors involved in her child's care. She keeps the schedule, holds onto the records, and monitors the medication. She answers the questions about her child that are almost always directed at her. Argues with insurance companies. Spends countless hours trying to figure out how to work within the system in order to get the best care for her child. And that's just for one child. What about any other children? Children with or without challenges. Mom is attending to their needs as well. So mom's plate is always full to overflowing, and her tank teeters on empty most days. For me, having such an imbalance for way too many years led to what felt like unshakable resentment toward my husband. Was that the reason why our marriage ultimately ended? No. There were many other reasons. And I will say in my ex-husband's defense that I could have loosened up my grip of control over every aspect of V's care and let him help more. Nevertheless, when there is such an imbalance, marriages and romantic partnerships can suffer. Another issue that may come up between partners or spouses is recognition of a child's challenges and agreement, or in many cases, lack of agreement, on the best way to handle these challenges. I noticed very early in V's life that there were differences in her development compared to her older sister. When she began preschool, those differences became more pronounced, and I often heard from teachers that she was struggling emotionally and behaviorally and had trouble with comprehension. The summer before she entered kindergarten, I had her evaluated and she received an IEP. This was just the beginning of our journey. My ex-husband is and continues to be devoted to both of our children and loves them unconditionally. But our marriage was strained by the disagreement we had in acknowledging these emotional, behavioral, and intellectual struggles. I talked to him about my concerns, often, but after meeting with endless versions of denial, I went through with the necessary intervention strategies pretty much on my own, which created distance between us and further bruised our relationship. And although this wasn't a major issue in my marriage, I've heard from other parents and caregivers who say they are the receiver of their spouse's or partner's anger, resentment, and blame for issues connected to their child's mental health challenges. In these troublesome situations, parents may become enemies. I wish I could offer easy answers to these issues, but none exist. My ex-husband and I were in couples therapy for over 2 years. And though the marriage ended, because as I said earlier, there were other issues involved, talking with him each week with the support of a therapist helped us better communicate concerns, needs, and struggles in connection with both of our children. I think it's a good idea for couples who have a child or children with challenges to seek out couples counseling, even if it's just for a few sessions, to work through any potential difficulties in communication and understanding. And I want to say a few words about those of us, me included, that are not in a relationship, but hope to find one that is healthy, nurturing, and supportive. I've been divorced for 8 years now. I've dated my fair share and had short-lived relationships since then, but nothing that's stuck. Sometimes I wonder why I continue to search. Maybe it's all the sappy love stories I read about and see in movies. Maybe it's seeing those couples in my life who are in healthy, loving relationships and wanting that in my life. Maybe it's hearing the stories of my two dearest friends who have found love late in life. Whatever, I remain open. And there's an interesting wrinkle that may come up for parents and caregivers searching for love. I have been on all of the major dating apps. And one common line that I read in different variations is, "I want a partner with no drama." You know that phrase, "no more drama"? I think it comes from a Mary J. Blige song. How does a parent or caregiver on this journey respond to someone who says, "I don't want to deal with drama"? I don't know. If a date listens to Shelter Journey, they'll see my life has some drama. But that doesn't mean that I, or any other parent or caregiver in search of companionship, will bring that drama to their partner. How do you respond to the question, "Tell me about yourself, your life"? I went on a date about a month ago and suggested that he listen to Shelter Journey to learn more about me. I'm not ashamed and have no interest in doing the work that is involved in hiding a significant part of my life. Well, I haven't heard from him since. Oh well, I'll just keep moving on. We have relationships with our extended family. Parents, grandparents, siblings, cousins, aunties, uncles. In a perfect world, these relationships would always be supportive, especially when it comes to having a child with challenges. But we don't live in a perfect world, and thus some of our relationships with family can be taxing. I come from a small extended family. I often joke that we could have Thanksgiving dinner in a Volkswagen Beetle. We talk on occasion, perhaps a holiday, but I wouldn't say that we are particularly close. As a result, they don't play a significant role in my life. But that is not the case for many people on this journey. Sometimes we have relatives who offer support and step in whenever they can. Sometimes our relatives are judgmental of our decisions and lack understanding of our day-to-day lives. Perhaps they can't comprehend why we never invite them over, why we can't make solid plans for an outing because we don't know what state our child will be in that particular day. Relatives that criticize parental techniques and offer advice and suggestions that were not asked for. You can try to talk to them and explain your realities. Sometimes that will be met with understanding, sometimes not. If they play a significant role in your child's life, you may consider inviting them to a family session with a therapist, if that is possible. Another idea? Refer them to appropriate episodes of Sheltered Journey. For example, you might ask them to listen to Episode 9, titled Pardon Our Appearance, that talks about the various adjustments and modifications parents and caregivers make to their homes to accommodate their children. Or Episode 5, Have You Tried? That talks about the frustrations of parents and caregivers who receive unwanted advice. Friendships are an important part of our lives. And good friends, people who are supportive and understanding, are worth their weight in gold. Many of us on this journey have experienced friendships that have blossomed, strengthened, stagnated, or faded away. Because in caring for a child with challenges, we change, and what we need from our friends change. In the last episode of Sheltered Journey, number 20, titled, How Have You Changed?, I talk about how any free time that I have is mostly spent with people who know, understand, or have some connection to the journey. It's not that I don't love and appreciate all of my friends. But as a result of being on this path with my daughter V, I speak a different language. This language of exhaustion, hopelessness, fear of the unknown, and all its diagnosis-specific dialects is understood by other parents on this journey, but not necessarily by people who have no connection to loving someone who struggles. And most times, I don't have the energy to translate. Parents have told me about once close friendships that have become tense because of the amount of unwanted advice and suggestions that come from friends who know nothing about their child's diagnosis. Friends that don't understand why we never have time or energy to go places and do things that we used to. That don't understand why we suddenly have to change plans or leave things open because of our child's shifting behavior and emotions. I've heard stories of friends who, not knowing what to say or do, simply disappear. But what about those friends that do their best to adjust to your new reality? Who may be disappointed that you had to cancel at the last minute, but don't hold it against you. There are beautiful stories of those types of friendships. I was visiting a friend who, after many tumultuous days, had taken her daughter to the emergency room to get a psychiatric evaluation. I offered to bring her food or check in with her other daughter who was home, but she said a different friend who lived in the area had it covered. She didn't know how long she would be with her daughter in the hospital, but that friend was going to see that she was fed and her daughter at home was well taken care of. This kind of support is priceless. I've talked in a previous podcast, episode 16, titled No Need to Call Back, about one very special friendship in my life in which my dear friend and I agreed to never pressure or make each other feel guilty about phone calls, making them or calling back. We understand that our friendship is not defined by who calls the most or who made the last call. I hope that you have friends that give more than they take and understand when others don't. And if you don't, you can find support here. Feel free to write to me at shelteredjourney@gmail.com to share your story and get some support. What about people that we work with? How are those relationships shaped by this journey? Many parents and caregivers are familiar with that terrifying feeling that comes when, during the school day, we hear the buzzing of our cell phone and look down to see that it is our child's school calling. In those seconds before we answer, our minds race through a bazillion scenarios as to why they're calling this time. And if you are like me, you utter words such as, "not today," or, "oh, blank." And here you can fill in your favorite four-letter expletive if you have one. If we are lucky, school is calling to tell us that we forgot to send in a particular form that is past due, or something else that can easily be remedied. But more often than not, the school is calling to tell us that our child cannot make it through the day and needs to be picked up. Now, most parents are familiar with schools calling to say that their child is sick and needs to come home. That happens from time to time. But what about when children routinely have trouble staying in school? When their behavior and/or emotions regularly disrupt their school day? What if we think our child is in school, but is not, and the call we get is from the police? What if our child is missing? What if we have to make and receive so many calls connected to our child's care, attend so many meetings, that our work time is severely affected? We leave work early, take extended lunch breaks, miss shifts, miss deadlines. How many times can we do this before it becomes a problem? Strains the relationship with the people we work with or cover for us. Perhaps we haven't missed anything, but we are so distracted by what is happening with our child that we have trouble focusing, and that lack of focus is noticed, misunderstood, or criticized by coworkers or supervisors. Some of us explain our situations to our work associates, and if we are lucky, there is understanding and adjustments made to address the challenges of our personal lives. We may even find a colleague who is directly familiar with this journey and can lend a supportive ear. Some of us don't say anything because perhaps we don't know what kind of reactions we will get and don't want to risk sharing our realities. When I worked as a freelance editor in publishing, I didn't tell my supervisors about what was going on with V because I was afraid they would be reluctant to assign projects to me, that they would think I was too overwhelmed with my personal life. And I was overwhelmed. But I needed the work, and fueled on fear, adrenaline, and caffeine, pushed through the night to get projects done, because my daytime hours were spent dealing with the issue or crisis of the day. In a perfect world, we are able to strike a balance between our work and our personal life. But in the absence of that, we do the best we can. Our relationships with neighbors are sometimes affected on this journey. Unless we live in a remote area, our lives are on display and play out in front of our neighbors. They see and hear us come and go, who visits us, see our celebrations, and witness our turmoil. And as a result, may form impressions of us through their observations and sometimes those impressions are far from accurate. I live on a long street that encompasses 4 blocks. I know the people on my block well enough to say hello and trade pleasantries, but there are 2 sets of neighbors that live closest to me and know my journey with V. That familiarity helps because a parade of people have come and gone from my home over the years, and I feel no need to explain or answer questions about them. Crisis teams, case managers, in-home psychotherapists, mentors, behavior therapists, supervisors of those people. Good neighbors are a gift, and I hope that you have some, or that some will come into your life. The relationship with ourselves is perhaps our most important one because so many of our other relationships are shaped by that one. This journey has taught me a lot about myself, things that I have run from for most of my life, but I'm grateful that this path revealed those things to me and I can work on them. And I hope that in your journey, you can strengthen the relationship with yourself. We have lots of relationships in our lives, some easy, some not. Some can be healed and some cannot. And that's life, right? I wish you peace, however small, in your relationships. If you'd like to share your story or just want to say hi, you can reach me at shelteredjourney@gmail.com. That's shelteredjourney@gmail.com. Your privacy will always be respected. Finally, do one small thing just for you, whatever that may be. Have an overpriced cup of coffee. That's what I did. Listen to your favorite song. Close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths. Whatever you decide, do it just for you. Thank you for listening to Sheltered Journey. Be well.